Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 21st of March 2016, the podcast that's read the news today, oh boy. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Charles Thomas. Charlie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's XOR the news of the bogus. So the whole business with the FBI wanting Apple to write a hacking tool for iPhones isn't even finished yet, and they're already talking about going after WhatsApp to do the same thing.
It continues and grows and grows.
Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, WhatsApp is this mobile app for chatting and making calls. And after it was bought by Facebook, Facebook teamed up with Open Whisper Systems, and they're the ones who do Signal, and we mentioned that app before. I think we mentioned it last week. But to make it with strong end-to-end encryption, and I think we've also talked about Brazil going after WhatsApp because Brazil can't spy on the communications, and they're going to WhatsApp and saying, well, give us the content of the communications. It's like, we don't have it.
No, they just they don't have it, but it's always the government. They'd almost get hacked. I mean, they recently just got hacked.
Lots of them. The IRS got hacked like two or three times. There was that huge Office of Personnel Management hack where they got all sorts of sensitive information on all sorts of operatives that were working in secret, things like that.
Yeah, and you want them to, they say, oh, just give us the code and everything will be fine, said no one. But you know what? Let's scratch that. Said the FBI, said the government, most people will say, well, just give them the information. I'm sure it'll be safe. And next thing you know, all the information is going to come out, and you know, and they're going to be the first ones surprised, saying, why didn't no one tell me this? And we're just going to be just shaking our heads.
So the U.S. Department of Justice is considering a similar legal proceeding under Apple, and this Hacker News article doesn't go into a whole lot of the legal details, but I presume that means using the All Writs Act again.
So you can't blame it on the writs.
Yeah.
I doubt most people who listen to this podcast would get that joke.
Yeah, they're putting on the writs. But they also mentioned a New York Times story where a federal judge approved a wiretap in a criminal investigation, but they were using WhatsApp, so they couldn't snoop in on it.
I wonder, why did they just can't get warrants and subpoenas and such? And if they did, I guarantee you, people from WhatsApp or Apple or whatever would gladly help them in this situation.
Well, because the only thing WhatsApp can give them is a blob of pseudo-random noise. Well, they don't have anything else.
Yeah, it connects to the other story that we're going to talk about later, but it just seems to me, A, they're not smart enough to keep this stuff secret, and B, they are full of holes themselves. So, once again, it's going to be more of a leak, and the hackers are going to get to it. You know, more people's lives are going to be ruined because of it.
Well, and they're also talking about, you know, we've talked about this before, how they talk about going dark and how this will impede law enforcement efforts. Well, what were they doing before cell phones?
Detective work.
Yeah, actual detective work. You might want to consider giving that a try, but, you know, it's like the cell phones that we're carrying around is like this big holy grail to them because it has all of our contacts and everyone we talk to. And if they can snoop in on our conversations, they can get the contents of our calls and our texts, and they can look at our GPS and see where we've been and things like that. And so they're thinking that's a real gold mine for law enforcement. And maybe it is, but it's not like they'd be completely helpless without it, because before all of that, that information just didn't exist.
Exactly. And even when they have all the NSA and everything else, they still couldn't stop, say, Elliot Rodger, who set all this crazy stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube. You know, that was a great thing there. You have the Russian brothers who did the horrible Boston bombing.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. We can continue this.
Yeah, they communicated completely unencrypted. The San Bernardino shooters left their footprints all over social media. If they had actually done real law enforcement work, that information was there. It wasn't gone dark behind encryption. They could have found it, and they didn't.
Yeah, quite frankly, it's again like the TSA and everything else. It offers an illusion of security.
Well, and it's very myopic because they don't stop to think that if they weaken our encryption to the point where they can spy on us, then that also means that China can spy on federal officials. And, I mean, they were so worried about all the information that came out after the hack of the Office of Personnel Management. Well, I mean, this would be 100 times worse than that if they can actually tap in on private conversations between all these secret government agents that are everywhere who are relying on their anonymity, because if whatever oppressive government there is they're investigating, if they find out who they are, then they're dead.
Ouroboros, you know, the snake that eats its own tail.
Ouroboros.
Whatever. Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying, Shay, right? You understand. It's just, they're going to be eaten up by their own hubris again. And it is going to hurt a lot of people, a lot of innocent people. By the time everyone figured this all out, they're going to be the ones getting hacked. They're going to be the ones being hurt by this.
Yeah, I think all of this just seems to be a prelude for them going to Congress and say, see, this is why we need to mandate backdoor encryption.
It's not going to work. And it's going to bring more people misery and suffering and such. Because, hey, I may not like Apple and some of their business practices and some of their products, but at least when their phones are secure and the iMac and the iPhones, they're really secure. Once the FBI gets a hold of that, it's done. They're basically done.
Yeah, I think Tim Cook's done a really good job since he took over as CEO. Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
Now for a piece of good news. An appeals court has ruled once again that websites are not responsible for the actions of their users. It'd be nice if that concept were applied more consistently, like with copyright or Silk Road, but hey.
Hey, a win's a win.
Yep. So this deals with Backpage.com, and they basically got the market for adult classified ads after Craigslist shut down that portion of its ads after a whole bunch of misleading attacks. But, of course, now Backpage has been sued a bunch of times because people don't get that there's this little thing called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. We've talked about this before. It specifically says something that was already a concept in jurisprudence, it just codified it into law. Sites are not liable for the actions of their users.
Yeah, that's supposed to be it. If your user doing something wrong, it's on the user.
So they've been winning cases, but they did lose one in Washington last September. That's just one of a very tiny number of cases where they tried to argue that Section 230 doesn't apply. But now, on appeal, they've said, no, Section 230 does apply, and Backpage.com is not liable. Now, what was going on was really horrendous stuff. We're talking about the forced sex trafficking of young girls. I mean, it's just really awful and horrifying, and everyone wants to put a stop to that. But Backpage wasn't responsible for it, and just like we said in the last story, by trying to take down Backpage for this, they're just shooting themselves in the foot, because if Backpage is gone, they're just gonna go to the dark web or somewhere where they won't be able to track them. But as long as Backpage is there, and as long as Backpage isn't responsible, law enforcement could use Backpage to track down these criminals.
Exactly. This is something what you would call detective work, the last story, which would be great. But instead, we're just going to shut down the website, and then just going to keep floating on to other places. You're not going to really stop anything or anyone if you just shut down the website. Woo, we stopped the website! Now what?
So the law they were accused of violating was the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008, which makes it a crime for anyone who, quote, knowingly benefits financially or by receiving anything of value from participation in a venture which that person knew or should have known has engaged in an act of some sort of sex trafficking. But to claim that Backpage is liable, as they argued in court, would be to reject Section 230. The distinction here seems to be, is Backpage just a publisher? Are they just a medium for the users to use, or do they knowingly benefit from sex trafficking?
But it's like kind of like Mega Upload.
Yeah.
When you had Ken.com. By the way, that is his name, by the way, people.
Yep.
We're not making any of that up.
Yep. He legally changed his name to Kim.com.
Oh, well.
It was like Kim Schwartz or something originally. Something German.
Yes. But he had the same thing with Mega Upload when you had these so-called pirated movies and such. Government just shut it down.
Yeah, which sucked because I was using it to perfectly legally transmit files between clients. You know, because I have to do a lot of these, you know, video files to get to my clients. And so from then I had to go and start using other things like Dropbox and Mediafire and stuff like that.
Same here. It's the same thing like, you know, with the drug war. You stop one crack house. Great, we shut down one crack house, but yet two or three more pop up. Same thing here. If you shut down Backpage.com, you're not going to stop the child trafficking.
So the court found, quote, after careful consideration, we are convinced that the publisher or speaker language of Section 230C1 extends to the formulation of precisely the sort of website policies and practices that the appellants assail. Precedent cinches the matter. In Lycos, the plaintiffs allege that Lycos permitted users to register under multiple screen names and provided links to objective financial information from a finance-related message board, thus enabling individuals to spread information more credibly. The plaintiffs were ultimately alleging that the construct and operation of Lycos's websites contributed to the proliferation of misinformation and held that as long as the cause of action is one that would treat the service provider as the publisher of a particular posting, immunity applies not only for the service provider's decisions with respect to that posting, but also for its inherent decisions about how to treat postings generally. Lycos's decision not to reduce misinformation by changing its website policies was as much an editorial decision with respect to that misinformation as a decision not to delete a particular posting. And so on the same basis, they found that Backpage.com is clearly a publisher and protected by Section 230.
I guarantee you, it still won't stop the FBI or any other government force to try to shut them down again because they want to just shut down the crack house instead of going after the dealers. They're not going to really stop. I'm hoping. I know it's a fool's hope, but it is a hope that they'll sign and say, hey, we can't shut this website down. Let's at least talk to the people behind it. Let them be a part of our team and let them catch these horrible monsters.
So they also tried twisting the Good Samaritan Clause, and this is Section 230C2. Basically, this says that you don't lose your Section 230 protections if you decide to moderate content on your website. If you try to go through and actually make some evaluation of, oh, well, this is bad stuff, we shouldn't allow it on the website, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're liable for everything users post. Because the myth is that Section 230 means that, oh, they just leave up everything. Well, 230C2 actually helps that because it says you can moderate your site without losing this. It's called safe harbor status. That's the legal term for it. If you do moderate it. And so that actually helps because there you don't have the disincentive for sites to say, oh, well, if I moderate it, I might get dragged into court under Section 230, so I'm not going to moderate it. So because of that Good Samaritan Clause, that actually lets them moderate it without having to worry about that. So again, the plaintiffs are just trying to make things worse. And so they also stretched the copyright exception to Section 230 that I mentioned earlier. And I don't see why that should be an exception at all, other than lots of big politically connected corporations want it to be. But anyway, the idea is that since Backpage was making money as a result of these posts, then they unlawfully benefited from sex trafficking. But the courts found, quote, there is no basis for an inference that Backpage appropriated the commercial value of the appellant's images. Although Backpage does profit from the sale of advertisements, it is not the entity that benefits from the misappropriation. A publisher like Backpage is merely the conduit through which the advertising and publicity matter of customers is conveyed, and the party who actually benefits from the misappropriation is the advertiser. Matters might be different if Backpage had used the pictures to advertise its own services, but the appellants proffer no such claim.
Yeah, there it is.
But, I mean, they were even doing things that I would consider to be fraudulent. For example, one of the photos that was used was actually taken by the girl herself. The girl registered the copyright and then used that to claim infringement, but the registration occurred after the case had been filed. So it was done specifically so it could be copyrighted and specifically to get statutory damages and...
But hey, it's not the first time they've gone pull this type of stuff. Won't be the last.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing, as this TechDirt article is pointing out, is blaming the tool for how people use it. And something that's being done now that's kind of similar they've tried to do in the past is suing gun manufacturers for shootings, which even Bernie Sanders said was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, Bernie Sanders is saying this stuff is stupid. You know you're on the wrong track. If only we could get smart about economics and foreign policy and...
Well, not much chance of that, I'm afraid.
Well, but hey, feel the burn. Shane, feel it.
But you can't blame the tool for how people use it. You blame people who are actually breaking the law. And it's especially stupid in a case like this where the tool can actually be used to track down the people who are breaking the law.
It just doesn't mean, if you try to say, well, we take the evil thing down and get rid of the tool, everything will be happy. No, it doesn't work like that. It never does.
Because someone just makes another tool.
Exactly. Especially on the internet.
Yep. And like I said, the tool will be on the dark web or somewhere where they can't see it.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And believe it or not, another piece of good news. The EU Court of Justice actually broke with tradition and sided with justice by saying that those who operate open Wi-Fi networks shouldn't be liable for copyright infringement committed by their users.
Yes. Awesome.
And this is something that's the EFF and some others have been trying to get people to do in America, is to set up a guest Wi-Fi account that people can just get onto for free and get internet access, like, you know, if they're just out there stranded or something like that, or just somewhere where they couldn't otherwise get internet access, they can get on and use the internet. And that's a good thing. You know, we all kind of share our extra bandwidth that we're not using. But the problem is that if someone gets onto your Wi-Fi and starts downloading a whole bunch of copyrighted files, they come after you.
Yeah, that's not good, man. That's no brainer. They should not be DMCA'd. They should not be, had their lives ruined in this litigation and such.
Like we said in the last story, you go after the actual lawbreaker.
Exactly. You go after the lawbreaker, not the person who has the tools and such. If that's the case, you should be arresting most government officials, but then again, they'll probably get out like 6 months later and have a book deal and get back in power somehow.
Now, this isn't actually an official ruling yet. It's a recommendation from the court's advocate general, but they usually go with what the advocate general recommends. And this is a specific case about a shop owner who had an open Wi-Fi access point in his shop. And apparently someone came in there and downloaded some music, and then Sony sued him and said he was liable for having open Wi-Fi. And this, a lot of this comes back to something that I've said before is an absurdity, where somehow it matters whether or not you're charging money for something, and I don't know, but the focus was on whether or not this counts as economic activity, which means it's covered by the e-commerce directive. And the Advocate General says that it is. Sony Music said it did not. But the Advocate General said, quote, "Where, in the course of his business, an economic operator offers internet access to the public, even if not against payment, he is providing a service of an economic nature, even if it is merely ancillary to his principal activity. The very operation of a Wi-Fi network that is accessible to the public in connection with another economic activity necessarily takes place in an economic context. Internet access is often provided in a hotel or bar free of charge. However, that fact in no way contradicts the conclusion that the service in question is matched with a pecuniary consideration that is incorporated into the price of other services. I see no reason why the provision of internet access should be viewed differently when it is offered in connection with other economic activities." So it wouldn't count for someone just running a guest Wi-Fi out of his home for neighbors or passersby or whoever to use, but you know, it's at least it's a step.
But when you look at this whole thing, it goes right back to copyright. So again, it's just a useless little thing that they're like, we want all the money instead of some of the money.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. And now it's time to matriculate this week's biggest bogon emitter. And once again, it goes to Barack Obama. Don't ask me how many times, I've lost count. But he was interviewed at South by Southwest, where he stated in very diplomatic terms that makers of encryption products must solve the going dark problems now or else.
If everybody goes to their respective corners and the tech community says, you know what, either we have strong, perfect encryption or else it's Big Brother and an Orwellian world, what you'll find is that after something really bad happens, the politics of this will swing and it will become sloppy and rushed and it will go through Congress in ways that have not been thought through.
Well, it's the president who hasn't thought this through. What, they might take our rights away later, so we have to give them up now just to make sure they do it right? No! The solution is to stand by your principles even when the worst happens, and say, no, you will not. And all you have to do is say that one more time, then they say, yes, we will.
Yes, we can take your information. And it's hilarious. It says that, well, you need to solve this stuff now and give them information. Even though we just said earlier, they can't protect their own type of information from getting hacked and such. Doesn't make any logical sense. This guy supposedly is a Harvard constitutional lawyer.
Yeah, and he even said,
my conclusion so far is that you cannot take an absolutist view on this.
What, we can't take an absolutist view on math? It's an absolutist view that 2 + 2 = 4. Math is absolute, Barry.
No, not on in his world or in Tumblr's world or anyone else in that situation, because 2 + 2 is probably triggering to someone.
I think you just explained a lot of the Common Core curriculum.
That's true. If he really wanted to help the people, like he says he wants to, he should be going, being like, you need to stand your ground here, instead of just taking this old defeatist view and saying this stuff, saying an absolutist view on encryption.
So if your argument is strong encryption, no matter what, and we can and should, in fact, create black boxes, that, I think, does not strike the kind of balance that we have lived with for 200, 300 years.
No, Barry, nothing like this has been demanded of us until recently. We wouldn't mind at all going back to the previous balance, you know, when government had to do real detective work instead of taking the lazy way out. We're not going dark, we're just going back to normal.
But they don't like that. Governments, as always want to get more and more power. And he says he does not want to have, this absolute view, but government is the absolutist. They want more of his tech stuff and saying, we just need this to monitor. We're not going to look at your stuff. You know the hackers are going to break through and they're going to, look at our stuff and take our information. And what is he going to say? He's going to be like, oops.
Yeah, but he's trying to make it sound like we're being all materialist, like this is a first world problem.
And it's fetishizing our phones above every other value.
No, Barry, it's putting our values, our rights, over your government goons getting to spy on whoever they want, whenever they want, because those are the only two options.
Exactly.
Well, check this bit out.
We make compromises all the time. I haven't flown commercial in a while. But my understanding is it's not great fun going through security.
No.
But we make the concession because it's a big intrusion on our privacy, but we recognize it as important.
Yeah, how badly has the TSA failed to protect us? They're at best an annoyance that does nothing to make us safer, Barry, so you're not exactly making your case here.
And like we said before, last year, 95% of all illegal contraband and such got through.
95% of weapons and 50% of bombs.
Oh, goodness gracious. A failure rate. They haven't improved. They're never going to improve. At this point, can we just scrap it?
And that's why this idea of giving up liberty for safety has always been a false choice and always will be an outright fraud committed on the people.
Again, it's the illusion of security. It's the illusion of this false choice basically wastes time, ruins lives, and not even accomplishes anything else. So why is this the government saying, let's just do these compromises and do all this type of stuff and all these type of things. Even though they have tons of failed ideas, tons of failed mandates, and they still go through them because reasons? Could someone tell me why, other than their own greed, hubris, or some type of reason, why are these laws are still here?
I suspect that the answer is going to come down to how do we create a system where the encryption is as strong as possible, the key is as secure as possible, it is accessible by the smallest number of people possible for a subset of issues that we agree are important. How we design that is not something that I have the expertise to do.
Well, that much is clear, but we already know how to do that, Barry. TNO encryption of our personal data and end-to-end encryption of our transmissions, and the smallest number of people possible necessarily excludes your gang of armed thugs.
And it's going to get even worse with the next president and so on and so forth.
It always does.
Yeah, it always does. I mean, people say, we can't get worse than Bush, and then bam, President Obama does all these things. And again, the left are so silent. And again, if it was a Republican doing this, they'd be all up in arms and everything else.
Everybody's walking around with a Swiss bank account in their pocket.
Barry, Swiss bank accounts are not illegal.
Yeah.
And then he had the audacity to claim,
I am way on the civil liberty side of this thing.
No, you're not, Barry.
Wow.
Not in the least.
The balls on this dude, man. Again, it goes right back to, I hate to say this, but the Orwellian nightmare, which it seems to be creeping on our doors slowly and surely, and it just continues to get worse and worse. But I feel like, President Obama hemming and hawing, trying to say we're for civil liberties, but yet their actions prove otherwise. People are looking at rhetoric instead of action.
Well, it took no time at all for Robert Graham to weigh in on this from Errata Security in a blog post entitled, No, You Back Off on Back Doors or Else. Quote, President Obama threatened the tech community, telling us to backdoor our encryption ourselves or else Congress will mandate a worse solution later. No, Mr. President, it works the other way around. You'd better back off on your encryption demands, or else the tech community will revolt. That's what's already happening with Apple's encryption efforts, as well as app developers like Signal and Wickr. Every time you turn the screws, we techies increase the encryption. It's not a battle you can win without going full police state. Sure, you can force Apple to backdoor its stuff, but what about the encrypted apps? You'd have to lock them down as well. But what about encrypted apps developed in foreign countries? What about software I write myself? You aren't going to solve the going dark problem until you control all crypto. If you succeed in achieving your nightmare Orwellian scenario, I promise you this. I'll emigrate to an extradition-free country to continue the fight against the American government. Your crypto backdoors creates a police state beyond even what police state advocates like Michael Hayden and Lindsey Graham can tolerate. Your point on balance is a lie. We've become radically unbalanced toward mass surveillance, and the courts have proven to be toothless to stop it. We techies won't tolerate it. Back off on this, or else.
Wow. And it's funny that President Obama calls himself the tech president, doing all these YouTube interviews and...
Yeah, everything he can do to make the appearance of being hip and with it in the 21st century.
Again, the appearance and rhetoric. It is meaningless. We got to be looking at what his actions are.
And people need to realize, we've been down this road before in the 1990s. We've talked about this before when encryption was treated as munitions and President Clinton wanted to put a clipper chip in every device to spy on us. They say they just want a discussion. Well, we've had the discussion and the statist side lost. And in the process, they created problems we're still dealing with. Let's learn the lesson and not allow them to put us any further at risk from real risks like financial fraud or identity theft, not edge cases like terrorist attacks, which this won't prevent anyway. We've covered that before too. What they want will cause far more danger than it will prevent.
But that doesn't stop them. It never does. But it is seems to be at least that people inside tech are still fighting this in a peaceful way. Because again, Elliot Roger, who said his plans during on YouTube, which is the most public forum other than just him having a megaphone and walking down the street saying, I'm going to blow up a college full of female students or something like that. And yet they still couldn't stop him.
And they know this. They know it's bogus. As former senior counterterrorism official Richard Clark explained in an NPR interview, quote, there are limits. And what this is a case where the federal government, using a 1789 law, is trying to compel speech. And courts have ruled in the past, appropriately, that the government cannot compel speech. What the FBI and the Justice Department are trying to do is make code writers at Apple write code that they do not want to write that will make their systems less secure. I don't think it's a fierce debate. I think the Justice Department and the FBI are on their own here. You know, the Secretary of Defense has said how important encryption is when asked about this case. The National Security Agency director and three past NSA directors, a former CIA director, a former Homeland Security secretary, have all said that they're much more sympathetic with Apple in this case. You really have to understand that the FBI director is exaggerating the need for this and is trying to build it up as an emotional case, organizing the families of the victims and all of that. And it's Jim Comey, and the Attorney General is letting him get away with it.
Feelings before facts. That's the whole thing right there about the whole Apple case. It's all feelings. And that's the most disgusting thing about this. They're standing over the corpses of these people just to get their power. I'm like, that is, to me, just reprehensible.
So all of that yet again makes Barack Obama this week's biggest bogon emitter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now let's detweet this week's
Idiots Extraordinaire!
And it's another repeat offender this time, Senator Dianne Feinstein taking it for the third time. The first time was when she claimed that the NSA spying program would have prevented 9/11 when equivalent programs had been in place since the early 90s, and what the NSA is doing isn't surveillance anyway, and let's pass a law infringing free speech so that no one can protest the NSA.
Yeah, that's always works.
And the second was when she went completely food babe on us and tried to make the FDA regulate soap because of scary sounding ingredients that aren't actually harmful in any way.
Feelings before facts. It's all about the feels, Shane. It's always about the feels.
Well, now get your fireman's helmet on because this stupid is gonna burn. She's saying that internet companies are, quote, materially supporting terrorism if ISIS members use their websites.
Cue the Naked Gun 2.5 scene where all the people are facepalming.
Yeah, and we have here a tweet from Jenna McLaughlin, and she's a national security reporter from The Intercept. DiFi, have we tried slapping material support charges on companies for letting terrorists use their services? And also points out that Feinstein didn't just think about this. This has been an idea that has been going on for a long time as well. And you also have ACLU Deputy Legal Director Jameel Jaffer, who had his response, quote, I heard the terrorists use hotels, credit cards, and phones, too. We're going to need a lot of indictments.
Yes, that is a win right there.
And hey, does the government provide material support to terrorists by allowing them to drive on the roads?
Yeah.
I think the San Bernardino shooters might have driven on the roads on the way to the shooting. That's material support.
And it's hilarious in some cases that government officials give weapons to some freedom fighters. We did support Bin Laden. I mean, shouldn't that mean that most people in the United States government should be, you know, in jail or indicted for supporting this horrible person and giving him the training and the tools?
I'm in favor of that. And how many things have we been talking about in this very edition of the podcast that's just coming together here, blaming a tool on the action of the users, saying that, oh, websites should be held responsible for their users, or suing, you know, gun makers when, you know, people engage in shootings and things like that.
And even if they try to kick off ISIS on the internet, which is hilarious, it's not going to work because, again, they go to the dark web, they go anything else.
Well, and how are you supposed to even know if a terrorist is using your service? So again, it's like with the encryption debate. They think there's some kind of magic algorithm somewhere that'll work differently for the good guys than for the bad guys.
No, it doesn't.
And one more thing we just talked about, which is this would take away a useful tool for tracking down terrorists. If they're not allowed to use these websites and use these services, you know, like we said, San Bernardino shooters, Boston Marathon bombers, Elliot Rogers, they had their footprints all over the place. They were out there in public. You pass a stupid law like this, and even if it does work, all it means is that this information won't be available to law enforcement.
All it would do is just make people feel like, well, they're losing the... there we go, a little pat on the back. We stopped maybe one or two terrorists and such. I feel like the whole world's taking crazy pills. There are tools that we can use to track these animals down and take them out, but yet they want to take away the tool and thinking, well, we're done. We don't need to do anything. We're good. Next thing you know, they will find a more dangerous tool, an untrackable tool, and then we're all screwed. And they're going to realize, like, maybe we shouldn't have done that. You think?
So that just has to make Dianne Feinstein this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this This Is a Business, Not a Home for Irresponsible Puss Brains edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Come join the discussion at forum.bogosity.tv and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant in text or audio to podcast@bogosity.tv. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or the QR codes on the YouTube video. You can also become a patron at patreon.bogosity.tv and get the podcast and YouTube videos early and without ads or promos. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
Hallelujah! Holy shit, where's the title?
Until next time, here's a quote from Louis Brandeis. The greatest dangers to liberty lurk in insidious encroachment by men of zeal, well-meaning, but without understanding. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
Bogosity.
Want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.